I want to begin with a real basic verse, but I tell you, it's such a foundational verse for your victory and for you to learn to live out of your spirit. You've got to understand how God made you. If you don't understand how something's made, how can you operate it? And Sandra Herring gave a little illustration this morning. She said that she and Tom bought a microwave, spent several hundred dollars on a microwave some time back, and they found out all they were using it for was to boil water. Hallelujah, an expensive water boiler, I guess, you know. And so they went to some classes to learn how it operates. Are you following this? And because they learned how it operates, then they were able to use it for that which it was made. Well, if you don't know how God made you, if you don't know how you're created and structured, then you're not going to be able to rise to your fullest potential. All right, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. Living out of your spirit. It says, "And the Lord God formed man," mark it if you didn't do it last night, three areas in verse 7. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Everybody say the physical. Now you see that, the dust of the ground, there's the physical, the container, if you will. You know, when they go into outer space, they have to wear what? Space suits. Everybody say space suits. That's what they live in, a space suit. You live in this earth, you're going to have an earth suit. That's your body. You say, "Well, I don't want an earth suit." Well, then we call that death. Amen. When you leave your earth suit. So you might as well stay in the earth suit. There's the physical container. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils." Circle the word nostrils there. That means the windpipe or the airway. "Breathed into his nostrils," mark it, "the breath of life." Everybody say the breath of life. All right, "breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Everybody say a living soul. So we made the point last night that you are three parts, but I want you to understand the way God originally made it, that was a holistic sense. It wasn't one, two, three. They were moving together. The Spirit of God was in the soul. That's why it says a living soul. Everybody say a living soul. Where did the soul get the living from? The breath of life. The breath of life is the Spirit. And so God's Spirit, now this is prior to sin, prior to the fall, that breath of life was interchanging and exchanging up into the soul. The soul, that is the mind, the intellect, the thought life, the decision making. It was not operating independently, but it was whole. It was one with the Spirit. And so it was a soul charged with life by the Spirit. And in turn, that soul was controlling the body, the container. And so they were walking around, I personally believe, with the glory of God emanating from them. In fact, now, I want to classify this as Jason's personal idea here, so I wouldn't teach this as doctrine. But you know how Moses came down from the mountain? And his face was what? Glowing or shining with the very glory of God. And it scared the people. They said, "Wow, you know, here comes a 100-watt light bulb." Moses' very physical container was emanating the glory of God. Now, again, this is my personal feeling. I believe that in the garden there, see, they didn't know they were naked until after sin. I really believe they were so full of the breath of life in their soul and in their container that they were glowing with the very presence of God Almighty. And of course, then something happened after they sinned, that a death entered in there. But I want you to see this. God's desire is for you to have a living soul. Let's say this. God's desire, for my life is a living soul. Now put your hand on your head like this. This may seem silly, but put your hand on your head. Everybody say this. Soul, start yielding to God's Spirit. Soul, wake up in there. Yield to God's Spirit. Amen. And I made the statement last night, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say it with me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, until you understand, that's the way God made you. God made you a spirit. You're not just a physical animal. You're not an animal. You're created in God's image and God's likeness. You're created like God. God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I dare say that many Christians, now I'm talking about good Christians, they go to church and whatever church, you would interview them coming out the door on Sunday morning. Now, I'm talking about good Christian-type folks, and you were to ask them, "Are you a spirit?" They would look at you like, "What planet did you just land from?" Because they've never thought of this, that I'm a spirit. They've never even become conscious, many of them, of a spiritual capacity that is in every Christian, because the Holy Ghost has now joined with their human spirit. Now, you must become spirit conscious. You must become conscious of God's spirit in order for your soul to start yielding to it. Doesn't that make sense? If your soul is not conscious of God's spirit, then your soul is just going to begin to operate and continue to operate just like mere men. You'll just operate like the people in the world. But once you wake up and say, hey, I am a spirit. We got to go to class here and find out how the microwave works. Hey, oh, this is the way it works. Cook control, 100%, time, 3 minutes. Bingo! I am a spirit. I have a soul. And so my spirit and my soul can now begin to get hooked up. And that's what I want to spend tonight on. How do you get the life of the spirit up into the soul? Isn't that a good question? I mean, we can preach all around and get the theory, and we need the theory before you can really begin to flow in it. But I'm a how-to person. How can I begin to activate this thing and get the spirit up into my soul so that I can make godly decisions, godly choices, move in God's wisdom, and do what the Spirit of God would have me to do? I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look at some particular how-tos. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you open tonight? Everybody say, I'm open. Everybody say, I want to learn. Everybody say, I'm not critical. I'm open. Amen. So you'll learn more. My daddy told me something. That, you know, God uses your parents, even maybe when you don't think they're on the spiritual plane that you've arrived to. Hallelujah. God told my daddy, through my daddy, my daddy said, Jason, don't ever think you know it all. He says, you may know more Bible than I do. Poked me like that. He said, but don't think you know it all. He said, as soon as you think you know it all, you don't know as much as you think you know. I said, yes, sir. Praise God. And I think that's a good lesson to have all through life. Don't sit out there listening to the Bible teacher criticizing and analyzing everything they're saying. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 23. Now, you're going to see the three parts of man, the three parts of the woman identified here. This is the way God made you. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Everybody say holy. Now that's not, holy in the sense of sanctified. He mentions that later, but it's the word holy in the sense of completely, entirely. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. There's the word sanctify you. Holy, completely. And I pray God your whole spirit. Now underline spirit there. Everybody say spirit. He says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul. Everybody say soul. All right, that's your mind. When you read the word soul in this passage, it's not talking about people saying, well, they got his soul saved. Well, we really know what they mean. Their spirit man was saved, born again, and their soul needs to be renewed now. Amen? All right, I pray God your whole spirit, your soul, and body. Everybody say body. All right, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pick up on the word holy there. In other words, God says, I don't want you to continue to operate independently, spirit, one day, you know, on Sunday you're going to get spiritual. And then on Monday you're going to go back to the soul. And then Saturday night you're going to live it up and hit on the body. He says, no, I want you holy. I want a complete whole man, a whole woman walking around dominated by that reborn spirit. So the spirit comes up into the soul, and your soul all of a sudden takes on that characteristic that Adam and Eve had, a living soul. All of a sudden your soul is not operating independently. Your soul is now being charged by the spirit, and your soul is a living soul. Your soul has the God ideas, the God direction, the God perspective on things, and your body is under the control of that spirit-inspired soul. Question is, how do you get it cranked up in there? Well, it's interesting. The verses above this tell us exactly how to get yourself wholly sanctified and given over to God. Let's begin with verse 16, could we? Look at these practical daily things you can start to do tonight. When you leave here, here are some things you can do that will cause your soul to begin to harmonize with God's Spirit within you. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Say it. Rejoice evermore. Everybody say it again. Rejoice evermore. Now that word rejoice means praise Him, worship Him, get excited, love Him, express your love to Him, rejoice. So you ought to write that down. Number one, I will rejoice evermore. Paul said, you want to get yourself wholly sanctified. You want to preserve your spirit into your soul and your soul over to your body, and you want that to happen. Then you make the habit of your life of rejoicing and praising the Lord in every situation. Not for everything. You don't praise God, you know, that somebody blew their brains out. That's ridiculous. That's dumb. But in the midst of anything, you can rejoice in the Lord and give Him glory and praise that He's going to work good out of that, that He's going to work His purposes, whether the devil's been involved or not in somebody's life. You're going to let your rejoicing overcome that which the devil would try to do. You're going to rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Let me give you a little testimony here. This happened just not quite 3 months ago now. But you know that we were able to trade our airplane. We've had a ministry airplane now for 4 years. And that's the way Jeff and I get around. We fly. Amen. Somebody says, why do you fly? Because we believe in doing what God does. It doesn't say God drives. It says He flies. Hallelujah. We won't make that one a doctrine either. But it makes us feel good to fly. Praise God. And so, you know, we had a nice airplane. It was just the right airplane at the right time, but we needed weather radar. On a day like today, I don't know if you noticed, if you even look up at the sky, pilots look at the sky all the time. I mean, the big thunderheads off in the distance. And on a day like that, you need something called weather radar. It's this thing that looks out there, and it paints a little picture, and it shows you where I call them the devils. All those devils are out there, and you go around the devils. Amen. Praise God. There's another personal feeling I've got, you know. Devils ride across the territory on thunderheads. I don't know. They're in there. If you've ever flown into a thunderstorm, you would swear there's devils in there. I want you to know. Whatever. And so we began to believe God. God, we need a better airplane. God, we need a faster airplane, a plane that'll fly higher. Why would you want to fly higher? Well, to get over that stuff. You want to get over the weather and so forth. And really, it was beyond our reach. If you just want to know the truth, I mean, the plane that we ended up getting through a miracle was way beyond our reach. I mean, we got a $60,000 plus airplane, and we didn't pay near $60,000 for it. God did a miracle. But, amen, I do thank God. I'll tell you, I rejoiced evermore over that. But here's the point. I was rejoicing evermore before. I was rejoicing evermore before because my soul was saying, no way. It's not going to happen, no way. But my spirit man was saying, yeah, there is a way. And so I'd find myself rejoicing. In fact, I kept in my personal journal, my prayer journal, and some of the people that work in my office know this, I kept a slip of paper stuck right on my computer on my desk, and it said Turbo Lance 2, and now it's got a check beside it. See? But I want to tell you this miraculous story. In order to get the plane, and it's quite complicated, and I'm not trying to cover all the details, but this plane was offered to us by a friend of the ministry. God did it that way, through favor with someone. In order to get that plane, I had to sell the other plane that we had. Instead of just it ended up as a trade, but instead of me trading it and him giving me what they call wholesale, I wanted to sell it retail so I'd come out see better. And in order to do that, it was my responsibility to sell the airplane. Well, right now, I mean, if you look at things from the natural, you know, the world talks about the recession and things aren't selling good and airplanes really aren't selling all that great. And so I had one guy that thought he was going to buy it, and he ended up, he didn't buy it. Now, I'll tell you, my soul was so discouraged when that happened. And instantly, I know y'all have arrived, and you never get discouraged, but try to remember how it was. I was discouraged, and I said, you know, this has fallen through. I don't have contact. I don't know people who want to buy airplanes. I mean, you know, how do you sell an airplane? And I'm talking like in a week. I had to sell in a week because this guy wasn't going to hold this other one forever, and it was one of those type of things, just a golden opportunity. And I'll tell you what, I just began to rejoice. I just said, Father, I just thank you this airplane is sold, hallelujah. Father, I thank you there's somebody out there that will be, this plane will be a blessing to. It's a good airplane. I mean, I spared no cost on it. I mean, if there was a screw that was, something looked wrong, I replaced it. That's just the way I am. It was in top-notch shape. And I said, Father, I just thank you. I just thank you. Well, a day or so after we were looking at this deal, the alternator belt on my airplane broke. Now, how would you like to spend money on an airplane that you're about to sell? I said, hallelujah, but I went and got it fixed, and again, I was rejoicing. Everybody say rejoicing. Rejoice. Now, I want to tell you, when you rejoice, it somehow causes the Spirit of God to be able to hook up with your soul so that you can walk by the Spirit instead of walking by the soul. And so I was around at the mechanic shop, and they had fixed it, and I needed some fuel for the airplane, and I'd called the fuel people, and they were coming around with a truck. And the president of this fuel, the FBO, the guy that runs the, was driving the truck. He never drives the truck. The fuel boys, teenage boys, drive the truck. Here comes the president driving the truck. And so I was kidding him. You know, I know him. I said, David, I said, boy, they got you driving the fuel truck, don't they? He said, yeah, you know, if you're the president, you got to clean toilets and empty trash cans and drive the fuel truck. I said, I know about that. He said, what are you doing with the airplane over here? I said, I'm selling it. I'm believing I'm selling it. He says, I know a guy that'll buy it just like that. Now, see, my soul is going, yes, thank you. Come on now. My soul had no faith in this guy. I really don't want to judge this fellow's spiritual condition, so maybe that tells you something, but I don't know really where he stands with God. Let's put it that way. They say, I know a guy that'll buy it just like that. I said in myself, yes, thank you. Sure. And the Spirit of God in me was going, you've been rejoicing! Here it is! He said, why don't you come down to my office and we'll call the guy on the telephone. He'll probably buy it over the telephone. I was going, here, buy an airplane over the telephone. Now my spirit man was in there going, hey, I'm the man who knows, I'm the man who goes, I know where the miracles are. And I'm telling you, the spirit man was in there. The spirit man was, see, the Spirit of God. Everybody say the Spirit of God. He's never confused. He never has a down day. He never has a bad day. He's never caught by surprise. And he's the man with the plan. He's in there. He knows what to do. And the Spirit of God is like the great locomotive. Because he's got the power. Everybody say he's got the power. Now, see, you're a human spirit. You've got a human spirit. See, even before you were a Christian, you had a human spirit. But now your human spirit has been joined to the Holy Ghost, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And your human spirit has been born. And your human spirit, it follows the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the locomotive. Your human spirit's one of the cars just hooked onto the Holy Ghost train. And he's in there going, woo, and they're just going around. But your soul can be a different story. Your soul's over here going, yeah, well, you guys go ahead and have a hallelujah time down there. I'm dealing with reality up here. I got to love Mr. Ugly Duckling. I got to pay these bills. Hallelujah, praise God and all that. Yeah, I know that, but we got real living to do up here. And see, the Holy Ghost is down there talking to your soul. Soul, come on, soul, get hooked up on the train. We might call it the soul train if you'll get hooked up. And that's called being led. Everybody say being led. By the Spirit. Well, I went with a guy. I mean, really, I was in a hurry. I tell you, you can miss miracles by being in a hurry. You can miss miracles by being in a hurry. And I thank God that because I had been rejoicing. In fact, see, here's the ridiculousness of the flesh. I had been standing at the airplane while he was putting fuel in it, inside myself going, Father, I just thank you, this airplane's selling. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just rejoice. Praise God. I just will not give in to strife. I will not give in to depression. And then he says, I know a guy that'll buy it just like that. And right after doing all that rejoicing inside, I went, get that thing. Well, I went with him to make a long story short, or a short story long, whichever way you want to look at it. We went to his office. He called the guy in Memphis. Never met the guy in my life. They went through the log books, which are the records, the FAA records, over the phone. The guy, and I knew what I wanted for the plane. I'd only paid $34,000 for it. I wanted $40,000 for the airplane, because airplanes are like houses. They go up in value, not down. And so I wanted $40,000. And the guy over the telephone, I mean, all of a sudden he said, well, what do you want for the plane? I mean, the guy was talking serious here. Well, amen. You don't have to pray about everything, do you? Yeah, you're supposed to, but see, my mama didn't raise no dummy, amen? He said, what do you want for it? You don't ask 40 if you want 40. I said, I want 45. You better write that down if you don't know that when you go to sell something, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've got a little wisdom in me, praise God. I said 45. He said, ooh, boy. He said, 45. I don't know I could pay that much. He said, would you take 40? I said, golly, I hate to take a beating like that, but I guess I could. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wired $40,000 and he'd never seen me or the airplane. And I sold the airplane. Gee, it's not bad. Praise God. Went and got the other airplane. And there it is, sitting out there at the airport. I tell you, rejoicing evermore. See, it doesn't say rejoice after the miracle. Anybody can do that. Anybody can get excited after the fact. It says rejoice evermore. So, see, that's one thing there. All right, let's go read on. Look what else it says. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Number two, you ought to be praying over those things that you're desiring. Praying over those problems that you're facing. Don't turn there, but you remember Philippians 4:6? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth your normal understanding. It's hard to explain. The peace that passeth all shall guard, garrison, put a shield around your hearts and your minds. It has an effect on your soul to pray about something. So many times we face problems and decisions, and I'm talking good Christian folks, we don't even take the time to pray about it. See? We need to just pause and rejoice and pray. Well, read on. Verse 18, here's another key. I'm giving you keys on how to get your soul and your spirit hooked back up there. Verse 18, in everything. Everybody say in everything.
In everything.
Notice it doesn't say in some things. In everything, give thanks. Everybody say, give thanks.
Give thanks.
You say, well, Jason, I'd like to give thanks for the good things. Well, you give thanks in everything. Not for everything, in everything. In the midst of everything, you give thanks. Well, I don't have anything to thank God for. Now, you do. Can't you thank God for a miracle to get you out of what you're in? Or to give you... See, you thank God in faith. That's faith. And as you begin to give thanks, your soul, follow me now, your soul, your thought life begins to vibrate in harmony. It gets on the same wavelength as the Spirit of God. How many of you ever been to the doctor's office? Oh, isn't that the day you look forward to? I'll tell you what, I mean, that's just the day you wake up going, the day's the day. I've been waiting on this. And you know, the Lord taught me something through a real silly situation almost 2 years ago. It was at my last FAA flight physical. You have to go in every 2 years, make sure you can walk and chew gum, you know, at the same time. And so I went in there. And all the doctor's offices are the same. Have you ever noticed that? All this little bitty, you know, little bitty reception room. And everybody sits around and they kind of look at each other. You know that? Just kind of, and you wonder, you know, well, God, I wonder what he's got, you know? They're kind of looking at you. I wonder what she, you know, she's got her. And in all the doctor's offices, they all have those, you know, 5 and 6-year-old magazines. You know what I mean? You wouldn't read it any other time, but you read it in there. In fact, you don't read, just kind of thumb through it and look around a little bit. Make sure you don't sit by a diseased-looking person, you know. And you wait for your name to be called. And finally, they slide back that little frosted glass. They've all got that frosted glass, you know. And they call, you know, Mr. Smith. And you know, Mr. Smith, he gets up. Everybody tries to walk healthy as they walk through there, you know. Try to walk as healthy as you can. Finally, they called my name. And I was so grateful they called, you know, they pronounced it right. I get everything. Jason Poobles, Jason Pebbles, Jason Peebles, you know. They said, Jason Peebles. I said, hallelujah. And so I walked healthy through there. And yeah, you go down the little corridor. You've been there. And you know how there's those little sterile rooms off of each side of the hallway. And they've got an entire air conditioning unit devoted to each one of those rooms. You know how they're always cold. Now, I like cold, you know, but I mean, they're cold. And you go in there, and you know, they've got, you know, 50,000 watt, you know, neon lights in the ceiling. And they always tell you that unnerving thing just as she closes the door. She says, the doctor will be here in a few moments, and by the way, you can take your clothes off. I don't know about you, but that makes me really nervous, you know, because have you ever noticed there's never locks on the doors? I'm the kind of guy, I want a lock on the door if I'm going to take my clothes off, you know, and there's never locks on the doors. Now, don't look at, you're laughing at yourself is what you're doing. You've been right there. And so, you know, you kind of put off the inevitable for as long as you can, and finally you obey, and there you stand. Doctors, are they on time? Never. That's part of being a doctor. They have a class called Never Be On Time 101. And so you freeze. You're just freezing, standing in there. And I don't know about you, but every step that comes down the hall, I listen. Because it's one of two things. It's either the doctor or it's some well-meaning person that has forgotten, this is my cubicle. And I'm always worried, you know, they're going to open that door and, hey, come on in. There's room for 3 or 4 in here. Hallelujah. I am going somewhere with this story. I this is true. I'm not making this up. I sat on the crunchy paper. That didn't feel so good. And then you go, oh my God, the doctor can tell I sat on the crunchy paper. And then, you know, there's a little table there, and the little table has everything you're not supposed to touch, but everybody I know touches it and looks at them. And so I was one of the people touching them, and there's two. Now here's the point. Don't laugh yourself right out of a miracle here. There was two tuning forks. I picked up one, I struck it, it began to vibrate and hum. I don't know why I did it. The other one, I did not strike it. Now listen, I did not strike it. I brought it close to the first one, and you know what happened? The vibrations of the first one jump right over to the second one, if you'll do that little experiment. And all of a sudden, both of them are vibrating at the same time in harmony. And the Spirit of God spoke to me in that little silly situation. He said, Jason, you're going to vibrate like what you hang around. You're going to vibrate by what you do. If you watch carnal movies, if you read carnal worldly books, if you just listen to all that junk the radio has to offer, how do you expect your soul to have the life of the Spirit coming up in there? But if you will rejoice evermore, if you'll pray without ceasing, if in everything you'll just make the habit of saying three little miracle words, thank you, Jesus. Say it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it again.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll tell you what, Jeff and I try to say that 1,000 times a day. You can say, thank you, Jesus. You get in an airplane, thank you, Jesus. You pull it out on the runway, thank you, Jesus. I had one guy that traveled with me. He says, are we going to pray? I said, yeah, thank you, Jesus. And I gave it the gun. He said, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I don't believe in long prayers when I'm getting ready to take off. Just say, thank you, Jesus, and you go. You get up in the air, thank you, Jesus. You go around the Thunderhead, thank you, Jesus. You land, thank you, Jesus. The pastor is on time to pick you up, thank you, Jesus. He's got a nice room for you, thank you, Jesus. He just, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I tell you, little things like that that you make a habit of doing throughout the day, you say, those are so simple. That's the beauty of it. I can rejoice evermore. I can attempt to pray without ceasing and everything. Bring myself back. Oh, I need to pray about that. I can say, thank you, Jesus. In everything give thanks. Now look what the verse says. Look at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. See, a lot of you are saying, oh God, what's your will for me? And he's up there saying, in everything give thanks. Now one version I read, look at this, one word, version read it this way. In everything give thanks, for this will lead you to the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It'll take you into the will of God. Why? It's not a magical formula of three words, thank you, Jesus. It's not working magic. What it's doing is it's putting your soul in a posture that's receptive and dependent to the Spirit of God coming up. So when God's voice wants to come to you, or His inspiration, or His guidance, or His insight, you're ready to go. Now keep going. Verse 19 says, don't stop there. Don't just stop with rejoicing and praying and saying, thank you, Jesus. Quench not the Spirit. Everybody say, quench not the Spirit.
Quench not the Spirit.
Now see, some of you want to stop right there. Well, bless God, I'll just take those few keys. No, it says, go on, let her rip. Can I just paraphrase, if I could, verse 19? Let the Spirit go. Hallelujah. Let her flow. Everybody say, let her flow.
Let her flow.
Amen. Down in South Georgia, they talk like that. Just let her flow. You know, let her go. Amen. Put the throttle to the wall. Hallelujah. Quench not the Spirit. What's he talking about? Follow this. Don't stop the work of the Spirit that wants to get up into your soul. Because go down to verse 23. If you will do what we are reading, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Your spirit and your soul and your body will become whole and complete as Adam and Eve walked before the fall. You don't read these as disjointed verses. Well, there's that one, there's that one. No, he's got a flow going here. You ought to just take your pen and put a little mark around verse 16 down to verse 22. You ought to put a little mark from verse 16 down to verse 22. And after you group those verses together, you ought to put an arrow right down to verse 23. Because if you'll do everything verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 says, you will have verse 23 happening in your life. God will be sanctifying you completely, not just your spirit. See, your spirit's been sanctified. Your spirit's already been set apart. God's already sealed your spirit. Your spirit's already been born again. He's waiting on your soul and your body to get plugged in with that Spirit so that you're not being a carnal Christian, but you are indeed one led by the Spirit and sanctified not just in theory or positionally, but your soul and your thought life and your attitudes and the things you do with your body is yielded over to the Holy Ghost. Now look what he says, quench not the Spirit, go on into prophesying. That's what he's saying. Don't just stop with rejoicing and pray. Go on into prophesying. Learn to prophesy with yourself. Well, I thought prophesy was with people. Well, I'm a people. I'm a people's people. You're a people. You don't have to be in a church meeting. Somebody says, well, I'd like to try my prophetic gift at the next big convention. Yeah, they'll take you right out too. Hallelujah. They'll take you over to the popcorn stand, praise God. Talk to you a little bit. Somebody says, well, I don't really feel led. I don't really feel led to prophesy unless there's 1,000 or more people. I want to tell you something. Unless you learn to prophesy with and to yourself, you'll never be able to flow with other people. Jason, what do you mean? I want to tell you, it won't be before long. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, I rejoice in you, Lord, and I worship. Rejoice means praise. It won't be too long if you're praising Him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, my fortress. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you know these needs. I lift them up to you right now. And you begin rejoicing and in everything. Give thanks in your prayer. It won't be before long. You're in this flow of the Spirit. And don't quench it. Don't stop there. Go on over until God's voice starts coming out of your own mouth. My son, I want you to know. I want you to go forward. Don't go backward. Don't be discouraged by that which you see. But that which you have seen in the Spirit is of me. Focus on that. Do not focus on what you see before you. But go on in the Spirit. Go with the vision that I place within you by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you shall surely see it and taste it. For that is your promised land. And I tell you, do that about 5 or 6 times a day. If you get radical with it, maybe 10. Glory to God, devils are embarrassed to be around you. I'm telling you what, devils are absolutely petrified when the voice of God's coming out. And you are ministering the prophetic voice of God's Spirit out of your own mouth. Now listen, where did God breathe the breath of life? In the windpipe. And He wants to use the windpipe. He wants to use the nostrils. He wants to use the mouth, the vocal cords. That's your stringed instrument. Put your finger right there. Say, I've got a stringed instrument. I've got a stringed instrument. I'm a musician for God. I'm a psalmist with my stringed instrument. We're talking about your voice box, your vocal cords. Those strings down in there, that's your instrument. And that Spirit that's in you wants to rise up and gush out. And the predominant way it's going to gush out is through the same way it came in. God breathed into the man's nostrils, the windpipe, the breath of life. And the way you get it out is through the same pathway. Quench not the Spirit. Almost forgot where my Bible was. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Now, as quick as he says that, look at the next verse, verse 21. Prove all things. Everybody say, prove all things.
Prove all things.
See, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Somebody says, well, you know, Jason, I don't really believe in getting over that prophecy stuff because you could have mistakes there. Well, good luck with any part of your life. I mean, you could just say, you know, hey, I don't believe in driving cars because you could have mistakes. I don't believe in having children because, you know, it's a wicked world we live in. I hear people say that. It's a wicked world we live in. And I'll tell you what, things are really terrible here. We wouldn't want to bring them into this world. Well, you don't have much faith. You don't have much faith. How are you going to help the world come to Christ? You came and raised somebody in your own house. Bless God. Amen. See? Yeah, there's mistakes in the gifts of the Spirit that can happen. You need to be aware of those. Your best assurance to keep yourself safe is to know this book front and back right here. Because I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost never contradicts the written Word of God. The Holy Ghost, I'll use a ridiculous example, the Holy Ghost will never prophesy or articulate anything from a person that would say, yes, go murder that person. That's contrary to the written Word of God. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And so, you know, Hollywood would like to put fear in everybody's hearts. They show these religious nuts doing all this stuff in the name of Jesus. If they had known the Bible, they wouldn't have done one of those things. So you learn this book, and you filter everything that you think you've heard, whether it's out of your windpipe or some other person's windpipe, you filter it by this book right here, and you'll never go wrong. Are you following me? But I want to tell you, there's things in your life that aren't in this book. That's why you need the prophetic flow. What do you mean, Jason? Well, there's not a place in here to tell you what job to have, is there?
Well, yeah, I just believe it's in here. There it is, J-O-B, hallelujah. Praise God, the book of Jobs, hallelujah.
That's called Job. You don't want the Jobs in there. Well, you follow what I'm saying? There's a myriad of things you're going to face in life where you're going to say, God, I don't know what your will is, and you better be able to hear the voice of God's Spirit. Because you won't find it in this book. Now, this book will help and inspire you and direct you. And there's some things you can find. The book does say, steal no more. So, if you think, yeah, I'd like to have a job stealing. Hallelujah. You can just cast that one out. Amen. But you better learn how to let the prophetic flow come out of your mouth. Some of you have never done this. Now, some of you have done it and you really didn't know even what you were doing. You didn't label it that way, but you've been driving down the road at times and you find yourself almost talking to yourself, but yet it's God talking to you. You're just a breath away from getting into that prophetic stream that I'm talking about. And you need to go on and speak it as an oracle of God. Speak to yourself, my son, my daughter. Speak, let God speak to you as if He's there with you in the room, in the car, out of your own mouth. And I'll tell you what, it'll edify you, build you up, and charge your battery. Amen? How many of you need your batteries charged once in a while? Praise God. Let's go on. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, why would He put that in this list of these simple things to do? Because these are not going to work for you if you're living an unholy life. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't live in sin, unconfessed, undealt with sin. Now, we all wrestle with sin. It says in 1 John, all of us in many points miss it. But He said, if we confess our sin, and that's not just saying sorry, that means you're taking care of it. You're turning it over to God. You're putting it into the light. God, that was wrong. I'm at fault. Help me turn around and change. That's what confession is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, praise God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to have power over that and substitute a good habit where that bad habit was. Are you following me? But you see, you can't... Somebody says, well, I'll just live in sin and still try to walk with God. You'll get into deception. You'll get into deception because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, it says that a person who hates another one or a person who lives in darkness stumbleth and knoweth not where he goes. He gets in darkness and he ends up into deception. It may not happen the first day, may not happen the first month, but eventually that person will end up in spiritual deception. Now go with me to Romans 8. Are you learning anything tonight? Romans chapter 8. See, He's just given us a list of things to do there. Simple things that we can all begin to do that will what? Cause us to be whole, complete, the spirit up into the soul and the soul controlling the body. And the whole sanctification process taking place. Sanctification, that's just a fancy word that means set apart unto God. Cleansed, made whole, holy. H-O-L-Y, holy. Unto God. Now, Romans chapter 8. Is that what I said, Romans 8? Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind. Everybody say mind. Everybody say think about. Everybody say dwell on. Alright, for they that are after the flesh, verse 5, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit. Now, isn't that what we're talking about? Living by the Spirit. Living out of the Spirit, man. You're going to have to get your soul captured, not by the world or the flesh, but you're going to have to let your soul get captured by the Spirit of God. And then you will truly be walking after the Spirit. It says, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind. They think about the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So very simply put, here you are. You say, Jason, I'd like to progress in what you're teaching. I would like to begin to live out of my Spirit. Then set your mind on things of the Spirit. What are some things of the Spirit? Rejoice evermore. Make a habit of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Write that down. Make a habit of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to teach more on that tomorrow night. But make a habit of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing the psalms to the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You say, where'd you get that tune? Just make it up. Hallelujah, just make it up. You say, what if it doesn't sound good? Hey, we're not doing this for RCA. That's very apparent. Amen. We're doing it because we love God. Well, I don't know what to say. You got a whole book of Psalms. Psalms is just a fancy word that means songs. And so you just lift your voice. He leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. I said, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. He prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ha ha, devil. Ha ha, devil. Ha ha, devil. Now you think I'm kidding. I tell you, you got to get radical. You got to get radical with God. You got to set your mind. Everybody say, set my mind. Get over this old theory, this old religious theory that, oh God, if you want me, you know where I am. Oh God, if you want to speak to me, you can wake me up. Give me a dream, a vision. I'll tell you what, so many people want, you know, this unconscious stuff. Visions, dreams, and trances. Now certainly God moves that way, but that's not God's standard operating procedure. God's standard operating procedure is for you to set your mind on the Word of God and the things of God, and He begins to lead you that way. If you're waiting on a dream, you'll have some dreams, but they may not be God. And you'll never know how to discern them if you hadn't been setting your mind on the Word of God. Verse 5, but they that are after the flesh, the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Everybody say death. Now follow this. Look at this. As a Christian... Now, this is only for Christians, people who've had faith in Christ. Somehow, somewhere, they've walked the aisle, prayed the sinner's prayer, raised their hand. It could happen in a myriad of ways. When a person accepts Christ, their spirit, their human spirit, has been joined to the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. And that seed of life is there. Everybody say life.
Life.
Now, see, life that's in the Spirit must work its way out through the soul and into the body. God's design is that spiritual life rise up first into the soul, so that your soul puts off the death that's been there and becomes a living soul. And as that life flows through the renewed mind, it spills over and actually affects your physical body to the point that your body becomes marked for the day of resurrection. To the point that your body literally will put on immortality. Now that's Christian doctrine, the resurrection of the dead. But just as death, what happened to Adam? Follow this. What happened to Adam? He was alive. And then death went first into his spirit, didn't it? Then death went to his soul. And several hundred years later, it got over to his body. He laid down and he died. Now Jesus has reversed the process and said, I'm putting life in your spirit. Now life goes to your soul, and then life goes to your body. And the whole totality of your being is sanctified and saved. Now, Romans 8, verse 26, and we're about through here, but I want you to hang with me about 10 more minutes. Romans 8, 26. Let's talk about the dimension of praying in and with the Spirit. Now, if you're from a background, see, I grew up Presbyterian. That's my church background, Presbyterian. And in the Presbyterian church, at least when I went there, they've had a kind of a split in the Presbyterian church, and I understand there's evangelical Presbyterians now and so forth, Dr. James Kennedy, and I think he's doing a fine job. But when I grew up in the Presbyterian church, we did not have altar calls. Salvation was not experienced. It was just something that you just joined the church and you're supposed to be there, see? Much less the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the prayer language and all that. I mean, that was just, you know, I never heard of that. Well, I did. The only thing I heard about that was for the poor people on the other side of the tracks that swing from chandeliers and stay away from it. You know, I did hear that. Stay away from it. You hear all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you. She got hold of that stuff and went crazy. Yeah, she did. She's in a straitjacket today. Sits there and says, Shandai, over and over. Yeah. You know, and so I'd heard, just stay away from it. I want you to know, when I finally had my eyes open and I found out it's in the Bible. Hey, folks, I want whatever God has in the Bible. How about you? I'm telling you what, I want all that God has. And there's a dimension of praying. Everybody say praying.
Praying.
That will take you beyond your limited mind. Because your mind is about that big. You say, thanks, Jason. Well, I'll give you a little benefit of the doubt. My mind is that big. Point being, you're limited and I'm limited. But yet God is unlimited. He knows the beginning as well as the end and all in between. And so I can pray with English. For me, English, others in other parts of the world that I've taught, Portuguese or Spanish or whatever the case may be, Tagalog, like in the Philippines, some of them use Tagalog, and then Cebuano and different things. But for us, it's English. I can pray in English, which is with my mind, but at a certain point, that leaves... That's about as far as I can go. Look at verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. See, you've got an infirmity. You don't know how to pray as accurately as you think you know how to pray. That's your infirmity. That's your weakness. Put it another way, that is your sickness. You got a sick brain, amen. And you need God's mind in your mind to help you get straightened out. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not. Circle the two words, know not. We know not. In other words, your soul is limited. You don't have that unlimited capacity yet that Adam had. But bless God, we can tap into the first fruits of it. We can get the foretaste of it. How, Jason? By doing what we've been talking about. Do these things, these simple things throughout the day, and it causes your spirit, like those two tuning forks, it causes the spirit vibrations to get over onto your soul, so your soul will begin to vibrate in harmony with the Holy Ghost, and you'll be making right judgments, right decisions, right calls in your life by God's Spirit. And here's one thing that'll help you, learning how to pray in the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself. I don't like the King James says itself. I want you to know the Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit has force, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Everybody say a person. The Holy Spirit is God, see? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit Himself, look at this, maketh intercession for us. How many of you would like to have the Holy Spirit make an intercession and prayers for you? Bless God, I would. Look what the rest of it says. Intercession for us with groanings. Everybody say with groanings. Now you mark that because that's important to our study. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that sounds like a contradictory of terms. The point is this. You don't know how to properly utter the right prayer. He just got through saying that. You're limited. You don't know how or what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit, who is the divine come alongside comforter paraclete, He's in there with you. We've already said the Holy Ghost, He's not in outer space somewhere. The Holy Ghost is in you if you're a Christian. And He's in you, and He will begin to groan and make articulate sounds and syllables through your mouth, which is a prayer language of God's Spirit. It says with groanings. Everybody say with groanings.
With groanings.
If it was just something that could not be uttered, which cannot be uttered, it says with groanings, which cannot be uttered. You don't know how to utter it. Now let me address this. That is so vital. Listen closely. I've had people, good Christian folks, say, well, Jason, I just believe that that means the Holy Spirit prays for me, whether I know He's doing it or not. He's over there praying for me. Well, that can't be so, and let me show you why. The Holy Spirit always works through a yielded vessel. You write that in your notes, because that is the truth on everything. The Holy Spirit always works through a yielded vessel. Now let's think about the other aspects of the Holy Spirit. Think about this now. Don't answer out loud or you might embarrass yourself. Amen. Can the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that, can the fruit of the Spirit operate apart from a yielded vessel? In other words, can you just all of a sudden go outside tonight as you go home and right in front of your headlights there goes love and joy and peace? Wow, did you see that? There went love and joy and peace right across my headlights. Well, that's silly. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, everything the Spirit of God has always operates through a yielded vessel, not just independently. Let's think about the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, the gifts of healing, etc. Do those just happen without a yielded vessel? No, they always work through a yielded vessel. Now, the praying of the Holy Spirit is the same. The praying of the Holy Spirit. Why? You say, well, Jason, why can't it be? Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to have a body. Jesus in heaven can pray whether you're thinking about Him or not. Why? Because Jesus is not just a spirit. You must understand, the very body of Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. Jesus is in heaven with His body, and He can pray anytime He wants to.
See, this verse is not a license for you to watch Falcon Crud while the Holy Ghost is in the next room praying for you. Amen. But I will go as far as say this. If you do watch Falcon Crud, Jesus in heaven is praying for you. But the Holy Spirit down here is what the Bible calls grieved. Now, in order for you to have a miracle, you must have prayers on earth. Follow this. Jesus is the agent in heaven praying the will of God. The Holy Spirit is the agent in the earth praying the will of God. And when the Holy Spirit and Jesus are in agreement, miracles happen. What's keeping the Holy Spirit from praying are vessels who are not yielding to His prayer ability, or vessels who are praying, as James says, amiss, outside, contrary to the will of God. And so there's times where I just don't know how to pray, and I'm in one of those right now. I'm facing some things in my ministry that I can kind of sense it. Have you ever had your spirit ahead of your brain? Yeah, that's usually the case, you know. I can sense it's out there, but I can't quite nail it down. And I'm just finding myself just spending time, just walking around, just in my office, in my car, driving around. I'm just groaning, letting the Spirit pray through my mouth with words that I'm not making up, but the Holy Spirit gives. And I'll tell you what, when you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, your soul has a greater chance, if I can put it that way, to catch up with that which God wants. I'll finish with this story. Some months ago, I was preparing to go to Kansas. I believe it was Kansas for a trip. It's another flying story. And as my habit is, I go out to the airport. Listen, when your life is in an airplane, you want to make sure that thing's ship-shape. Amen. So I go out there very frequently. I mean, I observe things like the inflation of the tire, make sure the tire's inflated right, you know, make sure bugs haven't built a nest in the pitot tube that indicates airspeed and all that. I mean, you got to look at that stuff. And so I was out there, and as I was out there, I felt something was wrong. Everybody say something was wrong. But I didn't really know what was wrong, but inside, and I began to pray in the Spirit. See, I was getting ready to go on a big trip, but I felt something was wrong. Maybe it wasn't just a thought, it was more of an unction I felt by the Spirit. I just began to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. As I did, it just so happened. Everybody said, just so happened. I want to tell you, if you start praying in the Spirit, the just so happens will start happening. Just so happened, the mechanic that takes care of my airplane drove by in his truck. He said, hey, Jason, I waved him over. He said, what's up? I said, well, and again, I don't know his spiritual condition, so I didn't want to say, well, I was just praying in tongues here, you know, and having supernatural utterances. I mean, don't be dumb, amen? I said, well, I'd just like you to pull the airplane around to your shop, take the cowling off, look the engine over. I'm getting ready to go on a big trip, and let's just check it over. What do you think's wrong? Oh, I don't know if anything's wrong. Just check it over. I go to the office. He goes his way. I get a call later that day. Jason, you need to come over here and look at this. I said, well, just tell me what it is, Dan. You need to come over here and look at this. I said, just come over here and look at this. I said, I believe I'll go over there and look at that. I went over there, and on both sides of the engine, there's exhaust stacks, you know, right where the combustion's taking place, just like in a car, and the white, red-hot fire shoots out of the engine, called the exhaust, and it, you know, goes out the back of your exhaust. The engine on airplanes the same way. One of the exhausts was just hanging there, cracked, wide open. What does that mean? It means at 8,000 feet, you could have fire shooting out on the inside of your airplane. What does that mean? It means you could crash and go be with Jesus quicker than you ever thought you wanted to. Well, can't you get out and not at 8,000 feet? And so I said, man. He said, what do you want to do about it? But bless God, I can't think for both of us here. I said, we're going to fix it. He said, well, we got two ways to fix it. We got the old cheapo way. We'll weld it back together. He said, now the other one's quite a bit more expensive. He said, if you want to replace the entire exhaust stack, just the piece alone is $700, and then there's 4 or 5 hours of labor to install it. I said, order two brand new ones, one for both sides of the engine, because the other one was just as old as this one was. I said, have them Federal Express overnight and put them on, and we'll be ready to go tomorrow. I had somebody come up to me after a seminar. Golly, Brother Peebles, that was a lot of money. Couldn't you have been a better steward of God's money? I said, it depends on who's flying in the airplane. You're flying an airplane, we'll be a good steward. I'm flying an airplane, we'll have a new one. And I tell you what, many times we fail to draw on the warnings and the intercession of the Holy Spirit.
I want to encourage you. If you pray in the Spirit, but you've left doing that, some people have just made it a religious exercise. Well, we pray in the Spirit in our church on Sundays, and that's what we do. I'll tell you what, you need to be praying in the Spirit throughout the day. If you've never prayed in the Spirit, maybe you're a Christian, you're from a church background, you weren't taught that, or you've never had that release, then you ought to open your mouth tonight or on your way home and just say, Father, I don't know all about this, but here we go. You say, well, what do I do then? Well, then just don't say anything in English and let the spiritual language come out. What if it won't? It will. And God will begin to pray through you and lead you by His Spirit. Have you learned anything? Thank God. Let's stand to our feet. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.